Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? It's good to be back here. It's been a long time. Most of you probably don't even remember me. I guess it's me and Brother Nathan was talking. It's been probably 7 years since I've been here when I went to the other school. I graduated from Free Gospel Bible Institute. I guess it would have been probably 2005 last time I was here. But I appreciate your pastor and your pastor's wife. They're great people, always been extremely friendly and welcoming to me, and I just appreciate them, appreciate their spirit. Brother Nathan leaned over to me, and he said, "Now we need a word from God, not a book report." I said, "Well, brother, I'm sorry. That's about all I can do." He said, "Well, it'll be all right. As long as Ruth Brim's in the house, you'll get backed up." Praise God. Amen. I appreciate Brother Nathan. Gotten to know him a little bit better last summer at Sepulpa Youth Camp. Tremendous young guy, and I know you already know that. It's good to see Sister Carla in the back. Miss C and her husband, I reckon he's not here or somewhere. Brother Nathaniel went to Bible school with them at the other school. Got to know them. And so I appreciate old friends and grateful that your pastor. I called him the other day. I asked him if I could just crash in the evangelist quarters for the night. That's all I was really expecting to do. But he asked if I'd preach, and I want to do my best to obey the Lord tonight. And I just want to encourage you with a little thought. I don't have anything that's going to... Good to see Brother Rob. It's good to see him. I remember him from the last time I was here. And Brother, I know I recognize this fellow over here. I just can't think of his name. Yes, that's it. That's right. Well, I want you to turn with me in your Bibles. Got a couple different places I'm going to read. Appreciate the Spirit of the Lord that we have felt here tonight. Telling you, it's His Spirit that makes a difference. I've been in a lot of churches where people come for a gathering. We did the ceremonial things and we performed the rituals and we went home and the Spirit of the Lord was not there. And oftentimes that's what happened is tradition, religiosity, amen, formalism. It hinders the Spirit of God from moving in the house of the Lord. But I'm grateful to know that tonight, as we've gathered here, I feel the presence of, and that means something when you're just passing through somewhere, especially when you're preaching, your nerves are already kicking, and you want to do your best, but to just feel the presence of the Lord come down makes all the difference in the world. Amen. I want the Lord to help us here tonight, and I trust that He will. I don't have anything profound. Deep for you here tonight, but I do want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter number 4. And then I'm going to go to the book of John, chapter number 1. I hate that my wife and my little girl can't be here with me. She was committed to directing Brother Daryl Tolliver's choir for his meeting this weekend. And Brother Nathan asked me if it felt weird. It absolutely does feel like the biggest part of me is not here. Half of your heart's at home, but I do miss them very much. And we got a second baby on the way. Not that you care to know, but I like telling everybody. I guess we'll find out next doctor visit what the baby's going to do. Y'all help me pray for a boy. I got a little girl and I love her to death, but I think one of them's going to be good enough. I love her. I guess what it is, and it shall be. Amen. But I'm excited about that. All right, I'm going to stop rambling, try and hurry up and get out of the way here tonight. Galatians chapter number 4, and I'm going to go to the book of John chapter number 1. Very familiar portions of Scripture. Galatians 4 and 4, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son." I'm going to read that verse one more time. "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son. John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Speaking of Jesus here, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. That's really, those two verses there in the book of John chapter 1 is somewhat of a saddening section of Scripture. To speak of the Messiah, the Redeemer, that had come to shed His blood for mankind. And when He came, they did not know Him. They did not recognize Him. They did not receive Him unto themselves, but rather they shunned Him. And they pushed Him away, refusing to accept His message of hope and redemption, refusing to accept His ideas, His love, and His mercy. And we read there in the book of Galatians chapter number 4 that when the fullness of time was come, that meaning that God had an ordained time in which He would send His Son to the world. Amen. Not only was that time ordained, but there is a time set in heaven of which Jesus shall return. Amen. God does not do things by happenstance. God does not do things off the cuff. When things happen according to the plan of God, know that they have been planned for all of eternity. There is no such thing as luck. Amen. But there are things that God has pinpointed in time, at exact times, to take place. And the coming of Jesus Christ, amen, was for a specific time. If the Lord would help me tonight, I want to preach to you for just a few minutes on when the stranger became a Savior. Amen. When the stranger became a Savior. Amen. As I begin tonight, saints, I would like to say to you something that I know you already know. We serve a magnificent Christ. In my studies as of late and over the past little bit, our Sunday school teacher, Brother Steve Johnson, I attend the House of Prayer, Brother Bill Parks Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He's been taking us back to the fundamentals of Christianity and them centering around the life of Christ, His birth, His ministry that He had, His death, His burial, His resurrection, and His coming back again. Amen. Centering around the New Testament Christ, the one of which the apostles preached. And in doing so, it's rekindled a fire in my heart. See, a lot of times when it comes to serving the Lord, we get so accustomed to Christianity that things, they just become common knowledge to us, and it just becomes the way that we do things, nothing more than a tradition or a ritual. Amen. But I want to tell you tonight, church, what would do us some good in these last days. Amen. When He, in some ways, rebuked the church there at Laodicea, He said, I have somewhat against thee in that thou hast left your first love. I know what would do us good, amen, in the midst of our camp meetings and our revivals and our youth camps, amen, is if throughout the year we return to falling in love with Jesus Christ. Amen, the Christ that we came to know at the moment of salvation. Amen, when we knelt down at an altar and something changed and something clicked in our life. Amen. That changed us from the man that we were and the woman that we were into the man and woman that we are now. Amen. If we're not careful, saints of God, life just happens to us along the way. Amen. And causes us to lose that ardent affection for Jesus Christ. Amen. So I admonish you, church, in these last days. Amen. Fall in love with Jesus all over again. Amen. If we want revival, if we want souls to be saved, if we want marriages to be restored, all of these things shall come to pass as men fall in love with Jesus all over again. Help me, Holy Ghost. I promise I'm not going to keep you long here tonight. Amen. When you speak to critics, the cynics about Jesus Christ, they will begin to do what they call account for Him. They'll try to make excuses about Him, try to explain Him away. And when I was in Bible school, we had our times of going to college campuses and trying to evangelize. And I'm telling you right now, there's some rough people to deal with out there. And you feel like, Brother Brian, that you've got everything put together and you've got this
a wonderful message to deliver to them. But people out there that don't want to submit to a higher authority, they have exhausted themselves trying to find some way to reason him away or to account for him. And I've heard people speak of Christ and refer to him as just being the creature of the time. And he was nothing more than a good man. Amen. They do their best to explain him away. Amen. And I will admit tonight that times, amen, different ages as the world has been in existence, they have, I hope the Holy Ghost to help me here tonight. I don't want to bore you. Amen. But times do call out loudly for great men. Amen. There was a time when the world needed a man and God sent forth Noah. Amen. There was a nation in bondage and he sent unto them Moses. Amen. And after Moses was gone, they needed a leader and God raised up Joshua. Amen. One of the greatest kings we ever read of in the Bible was David. Amen. And after David was gone, Israel needed another man. So God was raising up Samuel all the time. And say, well, brother, that was all well and good in the Bible days, but what about now? All right. Amen. In modern times, he prepared the Wesleys and the Whitfields for England. Amen. He sent the Haldanes for Scotland and raised up the Luthers for Rome and prepared men like William Carey for the entire world. Amen. And I say unto you tonight, saints, that all of these men served their generation well. Amen. They prayed like they needed to pray. Amen. They sought God like they needed to do and they fasted and saw results. Amen. But I want to tell you tonight, there's never been an age cry out for a man. Amen. Quite like the age in which Jesus Christ appeared. Amen. One man said it like this: God shaped the age for the event. Amen. And he prepared the people for the man. And can I say unto you, that's exactly what God's doing in these last days. Amen. One more time, he's shaping the age for the event. Amen. And he is preparing the people for the man. Amen. But just like it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be at the coming of the Son of Man. Amen. See rebellion and the spirits that we're dealing with in these last days. Amen. It's no new thing, but in the day of Christ, in the hour of Christ, amen, it was a godless time, a God-forsaken age. Society was at a peak of immorality. Religion was nothing more than a cesspool of hypocrisy. And the faith of the church was at an all-time low. Does that sound kind of like the hour we're living in? Religion has become nothing more than a bunch of hypocrisy. Amen. Society is at a peak of immorality all over again. Amen. We look at things that cause us to blush. Amen. Things that ought to cause people to feel shame, they just don't feel it. Amen. In these last days, and it seems to me, Brother Brim, and my the little ministry I've got, amen, when I do preach around here and there, amen, it seems to me that we are facing, amen, another church age of discouraged people. Amen. People that are depressed and they're wondering, they're confused, they're sad, amen, and they're brokenhearted. Amen. But I want to tell you tonight, church, amen, it doesn't have to be that way. I said it does not have to be that way. Amen. See, even when you're confused, God knows exactly where we are. Amen. Even when you don't know where to take your next step. Amen. See, God knows exactly where you are. Amen. He knows what lies in wait. Amen. He knows the path that you are on. Amen. And you know what God did way back then? Amen. In the Bible days, he did something unthinkable. He did something unimaginable. Amen. He brought forth the Christ in the middle of the world's crisis. And I want to tell somebody tonight, it don't matter where you're at or what you're facing, what you're going through, Christ can come to where you're at in the middle of your crisis. Hallelujah. Well, stand by me, Holy Ghost. I'm going to hurry, I promise. In the midst of a mess, he sent the Master. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. In the midst of ruin, he sent revival. Amen. By the way of the Messiah. I told you I don't have anything deep. I just come tonight to preach to you about Jesus. Hallelujah. We've already sung about him. And you know what singing about Jesus does? Amen. It causes faith to rise up in my heart. Amen. There's a lot of things I could stand up here and preach, and you wouldn't feel no better when you left than you did when you came in. Amen. But there's something about the name of Jesus. Amen. There's something about lifting him up. There's something about magnifying the name of the Lord that uplifts, it encourages, it sustains the heart, the mind, and the soul of a man. Hallelujah. Stand by me, Holy Ghost. Lord, help me. God saw fit to send his son. I hope I'm not boring you here. He did not send him by way of the palace. Jesus was not a king's kid. He left the splendor for the likeness of sinful flesh. Not to be overcome by it, but that he might condense him in the flesh. Glory. We serve a magnificent Christ. Amen. We serve a wonderful Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. He was born to a peasant home in Nazareth. Amen. As a matter of fact, what was it? Philip come to Nathanael one day. He said, come see a man. Amen. Hallelujah. And his reply was, can anything good, amen, come out of Nazareth? Amen. Nazareth was a peasant town. Amen. There were no influential folks in Nazareth. Amen. I guess you could just say they were a bunch of country bumpkins. Amen. That nobody really paid any attention to. Amen. But Jesus was there. Hallelujah. Amen. He was not born into wealth. He was not born into fame. He was not born with an earthly influence. Amen. His first visitors were shepherds, who most commentators say were considered to be just a notch above the heathen. Amen. His followers were outcasts and sinners. Amen. His church was not led by wise and intelligent men, but men of whom the other said, amen, were ignorant and unlearned. Amen. I want to tell you, amen, Jesus, I said Jesus, amen, was born in a peasant home. Amen. But little did the world know. Amen. The Bible said, had they known, had the princes of this world knew, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They wouldn't have done it had they known. But to them, oh help me, Holy Ghost, to them he was nothing more than a stranger. A stranger. The Jews looked for a lion, but he came as a lamb. They had great expectation for their Messiah. But when he came, I've talked to some Jews as of today's time, and they're still waiting on that Messiah to come. Because when Jesus came, he did not fit their criteria for Messiahship. He didn't come with a beautiful robe. He didn't come with a crown on his head. He didn't come with a staff in his hand, but he came as a little babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Amen. He did not fit their idea of what they thought the Messiah ought to be. Amen. The very ones he was sent to save were the ones that later cried out, give us Barabbas and crucify him. Oh, help me, Jesus. Amen. He did fit the criteria for Messiahship, but they still chose rather to reject him. Amen. And through people,
The enemy sought opportunity to stomp Jesus out and to ruin him. Amen. To destroy him. Amen. He did it through Herod. Amen. Herod sending out the decree that all the 2-year-old boys and under were to be slain and killed. Amen. Just trying to make sure he wasn't worried about who he took out, as long as word got back to him that Jesus had been destroyed. Amen. The enemies always sought to destroy the Christ. Amen. Even in the days of his flesh. Amen. But he did not stop with Herod. He tried to stomp him out in the wilderness. Amen. Under the temptation of Satan. Amen. Hallelujah. He tried to get him to commit suicide there. He tried to get him to, amen, pledge his allegiance. Amen. Under the darkness. Amen. But he did not stop there. Amen. Oftentimes, while he was preaching, while he was working miracles, amen, the enemy desired to stomp him out. Amen. To smear his name in the mud. But I want to tell you, church, he did not defeat him in the flesh. And our Christ, our Redeemer, our Messiah, sits on the right hand of God, yet undefeated to this day. Praise the Lord.
I said he's still undefeated. I said he's still undefeated. He ain't never lost a battle. He ain't never known defeat. He ain't never known what it was like to walk around with his head down low. Amen. He ain't never known what it was like, amen, to have to get out of town. He's never known defeat. Amen. Praise God, which always causeth us to triumph, because he was victorious.
Trying to talk to you about Jesus. And I want to do a better job, and I'm hurrying. I want to read this to you. This is what they sought to do, the enemy, through them. They took him out when the dew was fair and the eastern sky was aflame. They showed him a cross all stark and bare, a thing of dishonor and shame. And they supposed when they nailed him there, no one would believe on his name. That's what the enemy wanted to do. See, the devil wanted to make a show openly of Christ. But Pastor, rather, the book of Hebrews tells us that he made a show of him openly. Praise God. Jesus, Jesus, we sung about how wonderful he is. Brother, you sang so well about being him being a refuge in the time of storm. Did you mean it? I said, did you mean it? Or do you just know the words? Do you know the Christ? Or do you just know the words? Is he your Redeemer? Is he your Master? Is he your Savior, or is he just a stranger to you? Amen. Have you fallen out, amen, of relationship with him? Amen. It's one thing, amen, the thief on the cross, amen, the one thief that would not accept, amen, he was close in proximity to the Christ. Amen. When he was not close in his heart to him. Amen. Where are you at tonight? Amen. Is he your Christ? Is he the lover of your soul? Or is he a stranger to you? I'm moving on. Gotta hurry. Time's slipping away. He walked with them, yet they would not call him friend. He talked to them, and they would not heed his call to come. He performed miracles. Sister Brim, they would not believe. They would not believe. To them, he was a stranger, a false prophet. They even looked at him one day and said, he performs his miracles through the power of Beelzebub. They called him a devil. They didn't know. They didn't know. And we look at those people out there sometimes, And we shake our head at their immoral lifestyle. But they don't know. You hear me? I said, they don't know. My God, I don't know. This ain't going to mean much to you, but I am so thoroughly impressed by 100 young people in a bus ministry. I don't ever hear about that anymore. I live in the state of Oklahoma, okay? We got a whole lot of standards out there. A lot. And some things just blow my mind at what some people preach. And well, that don't matter. My point is, all the while we're preaching all of these things. And the people that don't know are continuing on. And they're not knowing. He is a stranger to them. I said, He is a stranger to them. Amen. But it thrills my soul to know that Sunday you told 100 children about Jesus. God. I tell you, that may just be something you do every Sunday. But I'm not accustomed to hearing things like that. Amen. So it lets me know all the while. Amen. The enemy is doing his best. Amen. To stomp out the name of Jesus in these last days. Amen. He's trying to keep him as nothing more than a stranger. Amen. But it lets me know. Amen. There's a church in Granite City, Illinois. Amen. Carrying the gospel. Oh, praise God. Amen. While the devil's trying to destroy, he's trying to hinder, he's trying to tear down. Amen. There's a church. Amen. At Bethany Chapel. Amen. That wants to reveal the redeeming Christ to a lost and dying world. I tell you, that does my soul good. Amen. As a matter of fact, I promise you, I'm going to call my wife when I get out of here and say, babe, guess what I heard tonight? And tell her, if they just get 150, Sister Brim going to get a pie in the face. Amen. I don't know. Amen. But I'm persuaded. Amen. I said, I'm persuaded. Amen. The Lord, amen, wants us in these last days to reveal Christ, to show Christ, to uplift Christ to a lost and dying world. There's a glare on that clock, which could be good for me, but bad for you. Hallelujah. We used to sing a song back home in Florida. I was raised up in the Church of God. We used to sing a song, I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord. I want to know more about that mansion I'm going to receive as my reward. I want to know more about that homeland. I mean to go there someday, somehow. And after I reach that heavenly city, I'm going to know more than I know now. I may not know a whole lot right now, church. But as long as I know something about Jesus, I think that's all I need to know until I get there. Because when I get there, I'm going to know a whole lot more then than I know right now. I told you I ain't got nothing fancy. I'm just trying to talk to you about Jesus. Amen. We sing that song. It's all in Jesus, my sweet Jesus. All in Jesus, give Him the praise. Amen. I know there's been times throughout the history of the world. Amen. The devils of hell probably rubbed their hands together as they thought they had the Christ defeated. Amen. If they ever threw a party, it may have been that day on Golgotha's hill. Amen. But I'm preaching to you tonight of a Christ who's never known defeat, and He never will. I said He never will. Amen. He is above all and through all and in telling you all, I'm preaching about Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Redeemer. He's the Deliverer. He's the way maker. He's the bridge over troubled waters. He's the way out. He's the way up. Jesus. Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You give me about 5 minutes more, and I'm going to shut it down, I promise. We see the Christ of the New Testament as we read Matthew through Revelation. But before he ever stepped foot on earth, in the four Gospels, he walked throughout the pages of the Old Testament. He was there all the while. Can I just read you something real quick to prove to you that he was there? I'm not a Hebrew nor a Greek scholar. I'm from the South. I've barely got English down. But in the Hebrew tongue, they referred to him by names like Elohim, the Creator. El Elyon, the God Most High. El Roi, the God who sees. Adonai, Lord, Master. Yahweh, I feel like I'm boring you. Sorry. Yahweh, the Lord of my life. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth. See, he was there. I said he was there. You wonder where he is. He's there. I said he's there. I said he's there. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord, my banner. Jehovah Makedah Keshkim, the Lord who sanctifies you. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Sabbath, the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Sidnu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. And El Olam, the everlasting God. Amen. He didn't just show up. Amen. In the New Testament, all he did was show up in the flesh, Brother Nathan. But all the while, amen. Ever since he flung the stars into space, amen, and he wrapped the atmosphere around planet Earth, and he hung Saturn, Jupiter, and Mars out there to orbit around. Amen. Ever since the Word in the beginning, amen, he was there all the while. You wonder where he? I'm a Hasaka Bahaya. I know you're wondering where he's at tonight. But can I tell you? He was always there. He's there right now. And he always will be. He said, Moses, when you get to him, tell him the I am. Amen. Also meaning, amen, I will be what I will be. I shall be what I am. I'm telling you, he ain't a stranger. I'm glad. I said, I'm glad. I know who Jesus is. He's more than just a story, but he is. I said he is the King of Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He's there. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost checking me right there. I said he's there. Lord knows my heart. I'm not a prophet. I wouldn't try to come in here and pretend to be something I'm not. I'm plain and simple and trying my best to carry this gospel. He's there. He's there.
Sometimes, Pastor, this is what he does. I've come to know. I'm trying to just be real with you here tonight. But I've come to know in my walk with the Lord, Brother Nathan, that sometimes in the midst of my trial, Christ is kind of like the king in the book of Solomon, whose face is hid behind the lattice. And even though I can't see him, he's watching me. I know you can't see him now, but he's watching you. Help me, Holy Ghost. I said, I know you can't see him now, but he is watching you. I got more to preach, but I want you to stand. It's time for me to stop. The Holy Ghost is among us. The stranger that became a Savior. I'm going to tell you this, and I feel like I've chased a bunch of rabbits tonight. You've heard of the great Napoleon Bonaparte, that great conqueror. He said this. He said, I know men, and I tell you, Jesus Christ is no mere man. Between him and every other person in the world, there is no possible term of comparison. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I have founded empires. But on what did we rest the creation of our genius? Upon force. But Jesus Christ founded his empire upon love. And at this very hour, millions would die for him. I try my best to do right. I'm going to tell you something that will blow your mind. Jesus is a better man than me. No, I don't blow your mind. I've determined Jesus is a better man than I am and ever will be. H.G. Wells said, I am a historian. I am not a believer. But I must confess as a historian that this penniless preacher from Nazareth is irrevocably the very center of history. Jesus Christ is easily the most dominant figure in all of history. They're trying to blot him out. They're trying to erase his name. Heard about a woman one time that got offended walking into a courthouse because there was a statue of a man holding a Bible. She took it to court and won. And they had to take some type of machine and carve that Bible out of that statue's hand because it offended her. They can take the Ten Commandments out of the courthouses. They can take every Bible out of every statue in the world, but they will never blot out the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said they'll never. What's that old song? Amen. They'll never crucify him again. They'll never spit on him again. They'll never pluck the hair off his face again. They'll never lay his back open with a cat of nine tails again. They'll never shove a crown of thorns on his head again. Amen. They'll never mock him. They'll never shake their finger in his face again. Amen. Hallelujah. He came as a lamb. But when he returns for us, he's coming back as a lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. Can I encourage you tonight, church? Hold on. Amen. Hold on. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. Tell you one more thing. At the Battle of Waterloo, the Revolutionary, I don't know, was that the Revolutionary or the Civil War? But at that battle, the Battle of Waterloo, General Wellington facing Napoleon. Britain and France. And the people of Britain knew that if Napoleon won the battle, that they would be ushered into utter bondage and chaos. And so they had high hopes that Wellington would defeat Napoleon. And so the word came through message one day. I don't know how they did it back then exactly. But the word came and said, Wellington defeated. And fog had settled in. And when the people heard the news, the word spread rapidly that Wellington had been defeated. All their hopes, Pastor, was dashed into a million pieces. Their hope of freedom and liberty was gone. But after some time, the fog lifted. And the message came through as it had been sent. And the message was translated like this: Wellington defeated Napoleon at Waterloo. Amen. Saints, I know there are circumstances of your life that says Jesus defeated. In the fog of circumstance, in the fog of life, brother, the fog of trials settle in upon you. And the only two words you hear is Jesus defeated. Jesus defeated. Amen. But if for no other reason tonight, I've come to make a feeble attempt to bring the rest of the message to you. Amen. And it goes like this: Jesus defeated Satan at Calvary. I said, Jesus defeated Satan. I said, Jesus defeated Satan at Calvary. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you raise your hands right here and worship in the fact, amen, that our Christ, our Redeemer, our Savior, amen, he is a magnificent, victorious Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I don't know how you normally do it on Wednesday nights, and I'm getting out of the way. Shakespeare had a way of writing things. And there was a battle that the king was fixing to go fight. Can't remember the name of the battle, but he knew his men was outnumbered 3-1. And so the dawn of the battle was yet to break. And that night, the story goes, Shakespeare put it over like this, that the form of King Harry's body was seen walking in and out of every tent and amongst the camp. And Shakespeare said that while King Harry was walking amongst the camp, he would come in to his men and say, "Hello, fellow soldier, comrade," and that's all he would say, and he would walk out. Shakespeare said they were plucking confidence from King Harry. Amen. And the story goes, Shakespeare put it, that when they went out to battle the next morning, amen, they conquered the enemy, and they were asked after battle, "How did you overcome the odds?" They said, "All it took was a visitation from the king." Amen. You may be in your little tent tonight facing a bitter battle tomorrow, But all it takes is a little visit from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. I want us to come, if it's okay, Pastor, together around this altar. Amen. You come, say, Lord, I ain't got much tonight. Amen. But if the King would come and visit you, and you just pluck a little bit of confidence, a little bit of faith, a little bit of assurance. Amen. Hallelujah. You can face your battle tomorrow knowing that all things work together for good to them who love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. You don't have to be defeated. Amen. You don't have to go down. Amen. Christ is here to bear you up. Praise.